If you lost Big Brother and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to another edition of Why Blank Lost for Big Brother. I'm David Bloomberg, and while Julie Chen Moonves may have told everybody to leave judgment at the door, we're once again going to go against her advice, because in this podcast, the whole point is to judge how each player did. With me, as always, in this courtroom of sorts is Jessica Lewis. And to keep with the courtroom metaphor, today our guest is another attorney, as we welcome Karishma Patel from Survivor Island of the Idols.
Yay! Listen, we better bring it, Karishma, because if it's open court, we can take it against David today. So let's do it.
Hey.
Hey, you said it.
There's high expectations here, but we can do it. We got this.
Now, Karishma, some listeners may be wondering why we have a Survivor player here to discuss Big Brother. But you've been watching Big Brother for a while now, right?
Yes, I have been watching for a while. Huge Big Brother fan, sister show of Survivor. So I'm really excited to talk about it here today.
Now, you also mentioned to me that you found something interesting while going through your Survivor notebook from when you were preparing to play.
Yes. So I pulled it out here today for us. This is my journal, and it has all the stuff I kept, like my flight ticket, boarding pass, and everything. I kept all that stuff. But if I flip to like the third page here, try to block out what I wrote at the bottom there.
Uh-oh.
I found here on, it's kind of dated. I wrote this in here on 3/10/2019. Rules for playing Survivor. And I wrote it in my journal and I studied it during pregame.
I am so jealous right now. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was really, you know, thankful for the tips.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I did study them. I don't know if I executed them all very well, but I did study them. And I did acknowledge them as incredibly credible and very good advice.
Oh my gosh. I'm so jealous. I didn't know that this man existed until after I was actually like on the show and started listening to all these crazy podcasts. And I was like, wait a second. I should have listened to him before. Yeah. So kudos to you. That's great. I love
really good advice.
Very nice.
Now, last week I mentioned both on the Why Janelle Lost podcast and also on the Sunday Night Recap podcast that sometimes people may think the answer to why someone lost is obvious. And I think it's worth mentioning this again this week, because what seems obvious isn't always exactly true. And there are also often other factors that come into play, often from weeks prior. And that's true again this week. And I would add that in this case, we'll find that some of those factors don't just go back weeks, but like a decade and a half.
Yeah.
So of course, to remind listeners and watchers, each week we look at the player who was voted out and analyze their gameplay using what we saw on TV, live feeds, interviews, and in some cases, such as this week, even articles I wrote way back in their original seasons. We compare everything about their game to a set of guiding rules I originally wrote in 2004 and have modified since, including the most recent version, which people can find at robhasawebsite.com/bigbrotherrules. They're a little bit longer than the ones that Karishma just showed us.
I had to paraphrase.
Yeah.
It's the shortened version.
Yeah.
If you had printed out the whole Survivor version, that's like, I don't know, 20 pages or something.
It's, like, so that it's more than 20 pages. Just going to throw that out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, there's an entire like 3 pages and I downed it to keep beliefs to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all,
nice. Love it.
Now, after I have to tell you this, and Jessica, maybe you felt the same way. After the recap podcast that I did Sunday night, it seemed like you and I had a week off. both because Kaser's eviction seemed inevitable given everything that was happening, but also because we finished our journey through Survivor Time last week, meaning we didn't have to watch any Survivor seasons.
Can I tell you, I had like the first like Sunday to just like take care of my house and hang out in my backyard with my dogs. I haven't had just a free Sunday in a very long time. So it was quite nice to have some time to just be like, oh, I don't have to watch 10 episodes of Survivor today. I mean, I love it, but it's a lot to cram into one day like that, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And for anyone who didn't catch our final episode, we discussed the first ever Survivor winner whose game was the basis for most of the Survivor rules, which, of course, then led to the Big Brother rules. You can listen or watch Why Richard Won via podcast or YouTube. Even Rich Hatch listened. Mm-hmm. And he told us on Twitter, the airwaves remain filled with 20 years of much inaccurate gibberish. So I'm grateful for your mostly accurate airtime.
Whoa.
So, I was so excited.
Yes.
That was a moment. I went, he listened and he responded. It was fangirl.
We were mostly accurate.
We were mostly accurate. So it's always good to hear that, because I do think that this is a difficult thing for anyone to do. In addition to being limited, I mean, obviously we're relying on what we see through an edit and also what we can read in articles and various interviews. But it's also hard because you're not directly experiencing it. So what we see and what we interpret could be completely different than what that person is experiencing. So to hear something like that, it's always nice to know that we're heading down the right path and that we're not completely judging things incorrectly or misspeaking regarding someone's gameplay. So it is nice to know.
Yeah. Well, we never judge things incorrectly. So we are always right.
But David, you're right.
Yes. See, exactly. Now, I mentioned earlier, you know what the format is, of course, but before we get to Kaser, there are several things to discuss about the week in general. And I know we aren't the only ones talking about this, but for the past 3 weeks, we have been so close to having an HOH who could actually shake up the game, but we just keep barely missing. Imagine the difference if we had had Janelle followed by Kaser, followed by Davon as HOHs.
Mm-hmm. It hurts. It's literally painful.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. You read my mind. So my heart hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is one of those things where I get it. I understand that people are playing a game and they're playing for $500,000, which is a lot of money. And so they might not be concerned with necessarily entertaining the people that are watching. And so they're trying to play the best game for themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's also hard when you're looking at it saying that's not really the best game for them to be playing, you know? And so there's that part where you get frustrated watching it because you think there's something else they could be doing that would be more beneficial to them, but they don't know because obviously we're privy to more information than they are. So it's frustrating. Definitely frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, instead of interesting things, we've had a lot of nothing. As Kaser said, this season has been extremely friendly. Nobody has wanted to take a stand. Now, I'm not sure I'd call it friendly per se. But yes, it's certainly true that nobody has wanted to take a stand. And when we get to the rules, that will certainly be a topic of discussion as it relates to Kaser.
Yeah.
Now, even the people ostensibly on the outs with the Core Alliance haven't really been fighting hard. You know, we heard Kevin saying this week, they're going to run circles around us in this house. And I was like, what do you think they're already doing, Kevin? And then, of course, we saw Bailey telling Kaser that he didn't know the game she was playing. But as I noted on Twitter, unfortunately, Bailey didn't know the game she was being played by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, we're non-spoiler, so we won't talk about anything that's happened since then. But she might by now. She might know what's going on by now.
Well, and I thought she was a little bit snippy, honestly, when he came to her and was trying to have that conversation with her about what was happening in the house. And she was really, really kind of pushing back at him. And even if you don't want to play with him, if you've made a determination that that's not the game you want to play, that's fine. But I don't think that her response to him should have been like that. You know, the guy's already on the block, right? He's already in a tough spot. You don't need to then be snippy like that with him. Just kind of take it in, listen to him, and then say, okay, well, I'll let you know what I want to do. But she didn't have that approach with him at all, which I thought was really kind of strange.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little thrown aback at how she responded, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's at the very least, keep an open mind. It's information. It's a conversation. It's somebody who's on the block, who's, he called himself, who's a free agent. You know, I mean, that was his pitch. He was going out. And at the end of the day, instead of, you know, snapping back, maybe it would have been a little bit better. But, you know, who knows? It was probably just an off moment of hers or something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But I mean, I thought he handled it really diplomatically and well. I don't know if some other people may have patient responses as he did. But it's tough. Emotions run high. She may have felt like, look, in the back of her head, I already know I'm voting for you. So, you know, I don't want to be told things change my mind. I've made up my mind. No.
Right.
Yeah. Well, plus, not many people react well to being told you're totally out of the loop. You don't know the game that's going on around you. So listen to me and I'll explain it to you.
Right. And that is true. But I really do feel like if there's anything that I have learned from, you know, talking to you, David, and doing all of this is that, and I think, you know, Krishma said it beautifully, like it's a conversation, it's information. You know, so you want to be able to have those open lines of communication, because you don't know if there's going to be one little nugget that is presented to you in that conversation that you can utilize later. Right. And if you shut it down, then it's a missed opportunity potentially. Even if she already knew how she was going to vote, it wasn't necessarily going to sway her, but then utilize that conversation for your own benefit then. Mm-hmm. Find something to take from it. And so to me, I don't understand this shutting people down and not wanting to talk to them. And she's not the only one who's done it, but I think other people have been a little more contentious because they're just not getting along. Mm-hmm. But in that circumstance, I was surprised, because she hasn't, every other conversation I've seen her have, she seemed more receptive and desirous of taking in those bits of information and wanting to learn from the conversation. And with that one, I was like, whoa, what just happened? You know, she seemed very, it was almost like we missed something, and I don't know what we missed.
That's why I thought maybe it was just a bad time, like a particularly emotionally charged time or something. And then, you know, that's the clip that was shown. It has to be, because you said it completely right. I felt like I missed something.
Yeah.
Where is this coming from?
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. And even Kaser's wife took to Twitter and said, hey, you know, don't jump all over her, because she was talking to him the way friends talk to each other when they disagree about something.
Yeah.
So, and everybody knows, if you just tell people on Twitter, hey, don't jump on someone, they all listen. Every time.
Especially the Big Brother fandom. They really do.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh my God.
Don't taunt them, Jessica.
I'm not going to. You're all wonderful. Thank you for listening and following and tweeting. It's great.
Yes.
I think Big Brother fandom is very entertaining. I actually really do enjoy hearing everyone's takes. Someone may have a take on something that I never saw it in that color before. So I just, you know, open it up and listen to it. I just don't like that. Sometimes there's certain people who are a little bit heavy handed on the negativity, but the fans who pick up on things that I didn't pick up on.
Oh yeah.
I love that. That's why Big Brother fandom has been so, so cool in my opinion.
It is very educational. That's for sure. Like you read a tweet and you're like there's 10 comments. You're like, wait, what is all this about? And then you can find out a whole backstory you didn't even know existed. Exactly. So that is quite fun.
Yeah. Now, you know, as Kaser was headed out the door, of course, we saw him trying to blow things up. And I enjoyed him telling everybody that he liked them personally, but when it came to gameplay and strategy, they all suck. After that, he got some facts right and some facts wrong. You know, and I know time will tell. I just don't think he accomplished what he was trying to, and other than pissing off Danny, Nicole, and Cody. Now, don't get me wrong. pissing those three off alone, that's a worthy accomplishment. You know, the pictures, the screenshots that have come from that as he forced, you know, Danny and Nicole to hug him on his way out and them looking like, yeah. you know, that alone was worth it.
I must say that was the first time, and it's terrible for me even to admit this, but in watching an episode of Big Brother where I literally went, like, I put my phone down, like all of a sudden yeah. It was happening. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. And it was like, and my son is sitting there. He's like, what's going on, Mom? I'm like, it was literally the first time, like this whole season where I was like, I was transfixed because something exciting was happening and there was all of these truth bombs being dropped. And I was so excited, but I was also very sad that he waited until that moment to do it. I don't know if we should talk about that now or if we should wait.
The moment part, we should probably wait. But okay. We did have a request on Twitter. Karishma, as long as you've been watching, can you recall any similar instances of, you know, people doing this on their way out?
Oh, gosh. I think there's always at least a couple every season, yeah. You know, people dropping truth bombs. And you're putting me on the spot with my memory.
I am. So, I know. And I'm the same way.
I may not be able to remember right off the bat, yeah. I'm being completely honest. But I know that every season there's always a couple people who leave with a drop the mic moment. And I love it. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes it's half and half. But what's really cool is seeing after the fact, did that make an impact? Because that's what's mm-hmm. important, right? If you're waiting until all the way the end to do it, there may not be enough time for people to process it. I mean, we know this from Survivor, you know, sitting in that tent before Tribal and even at Tribal, it's like impossible it's so difficult to like change your mind right on the spot. Even if the information mm-hmm. is like really good, you need time to process it and then come to terms with your decision of who you're voting for. And that may not have given them enough time to do so. But like I was saying earlier, what's really cool is seeing the aftermath of right. the drop the mic right. moment. And I think we've seen it at least one or two times every season.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jessica and I always say that the idea of a live tribal council, they do happen very occasionally, mm-hmm. but not nearly as often as the show and Jeff Probst want everybody to think. The idea of a live eviction vote, I think, is even slimmer because, I mean, it's not like they can all get up and walk around and talk to each other like has become commonplace on Survivor. And everybody's locked in, especially since, you know, these days, which is something else we'll talk about, everybody wants to vote together. So it's not a difference of one or two people that you have to convince. You got to get all those ducks lined up in a row. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of a live eviction vote is even rarer, like probably 100 times rarer than a live tribal council, which is rare to begin with.
I did see someone on Twitter post, I think it was Dr. Will, that on a veto, like, it wasn't the actual eviction, but the veto. Mm-hmm. He basically told everybody in the house, I hate you all and vote me out. And then never got one single vote. So, it's like, well, that's incredible. But that was the only comparison that I really saw pop up on Twitter as someone who actually like just put it all out there. And then it worked for him, but he did it much sooner.
Yeah.
All right. So with all that, did either of you have anything else you wanted to discuss about this week before we focus our attention on Kacer and the rules?
I think they should have warned them that they were going to be shooting stuff at them so they could cover their mouths.
They give them goggles. That's all the warning they should.
I know, but really?
I mean, yeah.
If you get goggles in a Big Brother competition, you're getting stuff shot at you.
Yeah, and then the rest of the competition, they're pretty much blind, right? Because they're covered. So why not just blindfold them? Why, if the whole purpose is to give them, to shoot some slippery stuff on them and then render them, you know, sightless. I think that's, but you're right. That must have been so gross to get that.
Oh, my God. I can't
not
even.
The grossest competition. Yeah.
No, that is true. But that was definitely. That was, it took them all by surprise, I think, when it did happen.
Well,
that was gross. Yeah.
All right. Well, I do want to mention one more thing about our upcoming discussion. We have reason to bring this up sometimes on Survivor, and now we have to do it again here. The point of these rules is that the players should follow them to try to win the game. That is very explicit in the Survivor rules. Kacer told Julie on Thursday, "I didn't come back for the money. Big Brother was a platform that changed my life 15 years ago. I felt it was so much more. It was a call to duty to come back. I'm not okay with the way the world is today. There's so much pain and so much division. Somebody had to step up and say there's a better way. I felt that was why I was able to walk out of this house with my head held high." All of those very admirable sentiments, but they have nothing to do with playing Big Brother to win. And that's what we'll be evaluating. So I just want people to keep that in mind.
But we do love Kacer. He is just an incredible human being and very inspirational. So anything that we say about him is about the game. It is not about him as a person, because he is a great person.
Yes. All right. So just as last week, it seemed obvious why Janelle was voted out. The same could be said again this week. But as we discussed at the time and mentioned a few minutes ago, just because something looks obvious doesn't make it true, or at least not the full explanation. Last week, we found that there were things Janelle could have done differently that might have changed the outcome, and that's true again this week. Indeed, Kacer had 7 more days to try to change his situation and no longer had Janelle there drawing as much attention to the two of them. What did he do with that extra time and space? Let's discuss all the factors involved as we figure out why Kacer lost. I said in my original Why Kacer Lost column from his first appearance, the Kacer understood from the very beginning that the first and most important rule is to scheme and plot. In fact, he was the first person who appeared to recognize that the winners of the initial food competition way back then were probably making an alliance on the surfboard, which may or may not mean something to various viewers and listeners. But he kept talking at the time about creating a counter alliance, and eventually he entered into a Final Four agreement. This season, similarly, he quickly realized that there was a core alliance being formed. Problem was that he didn't properly identify who exactly was in it like he did the first time. And while he kept trying to create a counter alliance, it just never got off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start, Krishma?
No, you can go ahead.
All right. I just didn't want to step on your toes. No, I think that we saw a much different Kacer this time, because I do think that he came into the house playing a little more slowly and safe, and also with, I think, too many preconceived notions, where he knew that he had some old school people that he thought he could rely upon. And unfortunately, Memphis was not someone he should have been relying upon, but he kind of got it in his head that he could, because Memphis was old school. And so I think that for Kacer, it put him in a very difficult spot, because he was making determinations without actually basing it on what was happening in the house. It was based upon where this person is coming from. And obviously he and Janelle have a very long history together, and that makes a little more sense, I think, for him to gravitate towards Janelle, because they did play together and they had a very close, you know, relationship in their previous seasons that they played. So that seems more acceptable, but at the same time, also problematic, because then you're an immediate duo right away and everybody sees it and knows it. And so I do think that it probably would have been better for him to kind of figure out the house and the feel of the house and who these people are before really kind of locking himself into this idea that I'm going to focus on the old school people instead of gravitating towards the new school people and trying to figure out where their head was at.
Yeah. Sort of just accompanying exactly what you said. I think, you know, investing his time and energy in other places earlier on may have helped out. I mean, we heard Enzo say, you know, the guys never talk game to me, and they're on what, game 20? A day 20 something now. And, you know, it may be attributed to, you know, what you just said, his reliance on the old school players, his time and energy and investment, maybe, you know, with spending time with Janelle and with those players, and not really spreading out, branching out and connecting with these other new school players, and figuring out, you know, where their heads might be at in terms of game. Maybe he was having a lot of personal conversations here and there, but perhaps not talking game with just the right people at the right time.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this rule talks about the importance of making alliances right away. And yeah, Kacer, you know, we noted last week, Kacer and Janelle had each other and Keisha, but they just weren't very quick at making other allies. The Enzo thing comes to mind. I mean, really, this 3 weeks too late, you know, to make a pitch. Kacer should have been discussing the game at least somewhat with everybody early on.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And then, you know, for him to be doing this later, you know, he was still trying to convince the same people to, you know, kind of form that counter alliance that I mentioned. And as I was watching the conversation with Kacer and Bailey, which I think was the same one we were talking about earlier, but I can't remember for sure. He was talking about they have to fight back against the core alliance, and lyrics from Hamilton came into my mind. In particular, the song "My Shot." Now, sorry, Jessica, I'm not going to sing them.
Damn it!
But you know, some of the ones that came floating to mind, you know, they said, "Rise up when you're living on your knees. You rise up. Tell your brother that he's got to rise up. Tell your sister that she's got to rise up." And it seemed to be that's what he was doing. He was telling them they had to rise up.
Right.
And then other appropriate lyrics included Hamilton wondering, "Where are all the hungriest brothers with something to prove? Foes oppose us, we take an honest stand." And of course, you know, this song is "My Shot," so it's rise up, it's time to take a shot. Mm-hmm. Kacer tried to rise up and take a shot, but unlike the American Revolution, this was not a triumphant success story.
Well, and I think it was almost like, I hate to even say something like this, but it was like regurgitating the same narrative, you know, where they all kind of knew that this was happening and nobody was willing to do anything about it, and they had all kind of been talking about it. So okay, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got, right? And so if he can't convince them, well, if he can't convince them because of this narrative, well, then you need to change it. You got to focus on something else, give them something else to think about, because they're not listening to this over here that we, you know. And I think that was kind of the missed opportunity for him, because he did put more of the pieces together right before he walked out the door. And, you know, and unfortunately, just kind of saying the same thing to them, I think they were kind of looking at it like, well, everyone just wants to vote you out anyway, so I'm not going to put my neck on the line because they all want to vote you out. You need to make them realize that by them voting me out, you're going to be next and you're going to be next, but you need to make them understand why keeping him is in their benefit, and not necessarily like we need to take a stand against these people who are, you know, going to vote everybody out. You got to flip it a little bit and make them think outside of the box. And I feel like that was the thing that seemed to be lacking.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, Bailey and Devon being so confident about that Slick Six alliance, mm-hmm. really didn't help, you know, to them. And if you flip it, I mean, I don't blame them if that's their mindset, but if you look at it from their perspective, all they're thinking in their back of their head is, he's telling me to rise up, but he doesn't know the people he's telling me to rise up against, they're in my alliance. You know what I mean? That's right. Their perspective. So you can't, I mean, I don't blame them for having the reactions they do, because they did honestly have that belief that they're in a strong alliance with those people, when in fact that was a fake alliance.
Right. And that's why I feel like, because we talked about, you know, perspective earlier, like we don't know where each person is coming from. But I think that by kind of putting it all together, and if he was able to say, okay, you think that you're in an alliance with this person, this person, this person. Those people are also with these people over here. Did you know that? You know, and that's where you need to start making them think differently. That, like, wait a second. No, I have an alliance with them. So they have to start questioning where they stand with those same people. And if you know that there's overlap, and you know that there's people who are in two different alliances, then obviously those are the people that have a different plan than what you think the plan is going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that would have been a better way to approach it, as opposed to, we need to rise up against these people. Tell them why they need to, and point it out for them in a much more clear fashion. Because everyone's very kind of like, they don't want to ruffle any feathers, and they don't want to say too much. They don't want to, no, you have to, like, you have to at some point.
The numbers are going to be against you soon. If you get rid of all the people who could potentially vote with you, then you're going to lose numbers and be voted against. It's math.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we mentioned last week that despite what we're saying about how he should have talked to all these, you know, different people in addition to the ones he was conferring with, it's not clear he necessarily could have gotten into a larger alliance. And he did at least try with Cody early on, attempting to convince him to create a circle of trust and asking if he could fit in there. The two of them did not mesh at all. And Cody said he didn't want to start something and wanted things to happen naturally, which was such a bad canned answer that, I mean, that's why Kacer and Janelle sniffed it out immediately. But then the question is, then what? Okay, you know you're not in good with Cody. Then he and Janelle retreated into their own corner and fought losing battles from the minority side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very sad. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
It happened quickly. It happened really quickly. I mean, that six came together, that first six, whatever they call themselves, and that's it. Everybody else was a doll to them, a rag doll to them. They knew.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, but that's exactly, it's not like Kacer didn't try. They just made up their minds that this, you're not going to be in that circle. That's it.
Now, I think one problem was that Kacer suffered from a debilitating case of integrity. Mm. After his first All-Star stint, he had told Julie Chen he was not cut out for the game. And I asked him about that when I interviewed him way back then. He said he sincerely believed he played the game by respecting others with integrity and honesty. And as much as he told himself back then that he could be more devious than his first time, it was not part of who he was, and he couldn't do it. He added that he may have appeared to be naive, but he did trust and want to see the good in people, which was why he said maybe he didn't fit into this sort of game. So he tried to talk his way out of things this week, you know, as we fast forward. But the combination of not having done so from the start and then wanting to be honest about it now, both of those things worked against him.
Yeah, for sure. He is really such a kind soul. And I'm sure it was very hard for him to have particular conversations with people, because I do think he wanted to be able to connect with them on an emotional and personal level and not just a game level. But you're also playing a game. And so you have to be mindful of that in every conversation you have. And this idea that we all love each other and we're all going to get along. I mean, Krishma, you know that that's not what happens. That is not what happens. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of expect that you aren't going to get along with everybody and you're not necessarily going to be able to connect with everyone, but you still have to focus on the game at the same time. So I do think that that was a big struggle for him, because he wanted to play with integrity. But sometimes in games like this, you are in very uncomfortable situations that you might not want to be in, and regular life you wouldn't be in, but you're playing a game for $500,000.
Yeah, I think it takes me back to the conversation that he had with Bailey that we were talking about earlier, and that he had so much patience and he reacted so diplomatically and didn't really push back. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just an example of the kind of person he is. You know, he lets people be who they are, express who they are, say what they want to say, but then he doesn't push back with any kind of force or with, you know, the things that you need to say when you're in a game like this that may not be so kind and may not be, you know, that may be deep. They may be seen as devious. Like, he's just not the kind of person, I think, to take that extra step. And that's why his speech, you know, while it was awesome to watch it happen, it felt a little bit off brand.
Yes.
At the moment, you know, it felt a little bit off, felt like, you know, you're trying to be someone that you didn't want to be, but you feel you have to, because it's Big Brother and it's All Stars and you're leaving. And, exactly what you said. I think he's just the kind of guy, maybe has become the kind of guy in these past 10 years, who may not want to take that extra step of pushing, of pushback.
Yeah. Now, the second rule tells players not to scheme and plot too much and to keep their scheming secret. And we were just talking about Kacer's debilitating case of integrity. And this is something that has been a constant throughout his Big Brother career. In my Why Kacer Lost column for his first All-Stars appearance, I mentioned this honesty problem and noted that in real life, honesty is to be admired. But in a game where deceit is often rewarded, it's a dangerous way to play. That certainly was true all these years later, though people may now be wondering why I'm talking about honesty in the rule about plotting too much. And the reason goes to the keep your scheming secret portion. Because if you're playing with honesty, that means all your secrets are not secrets for very long. And Kacer definitely had a problem with spilling the beans, both early in the game and then continuing this past week when Janelle left.
Yes. And unfortunately, Memphis was part of that problem.
Yes.
Wow. Spilling the beans to Memphis about everything that was going on. And again, he thought that he had Memphis. He thought that Memphis was in his little group with him. And yeah, unfortunately, he overshared, and everything he overshared got brought right back to the alliance and put him in an even worse situation than he was just coming into the house.
Yeah, it happens. Sometimes you just trust the wrong people. It happens in every game that we see with this format. And it's human nature. You're not going to have the ability to know exactly who to trust and exactly who's going to keep your secrets. But he trusted the wrong person. And that's what it led to.
I suffered that.
Yeah.
It definitely happens. It 100% happens. Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know about you, Jessica. I mean, I suffered it a lot too myself. But I never blamed myself for that. It's one of those things trust me, I've got a list of regrets, took up the rest of that journal. but one of the regrets, I realized is that, you do your best to try to read people. You do your best to share information with the people, feeling confident that they're going to keep it. But if they don't, there's only so much you can control.
Right.
That's something you can't control. And if you dwell on that, then that's just going to eat you up. And with Kacer, choosing to talk to Memphis and share information with Memphis, that was a bad read on Memphis. But what did he do wrong reading him that way? It's another old school player, probably had a really good relationship with him, probably had talked to him a lot before the game and had a personal relationship with him as well. It's not like he did anything wrong. He can't control what Memphis does with the info.
Oh, and that's absolutely true. In games like this, you always have to be willing to accept that what I am telling this person might go tell someone else. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want that information to be divulged, it's kind of like a give and take. What are they willing to share with me and what am I willing to share? And I feel like he shared too quickly. There was kind of an assumption there that it was going to be a safe space instead of really trying to test the waters and make sure, because we do know that this is a game about deceit. And, and you don't know what that person is going to do with whatever information they're being provided, because that person's playing a game too. And so whatever someone wants to do with it is going to be in their best interest, and it might not be in yours, and everybody is playing a game. And so you can't really take it to heart if they take your information and share it, because it might be the better thing for their own game, but it can still be really frustrating for sure to watch it happen and to see it happen, and you can't stop it from happening.
Yeah. Every time you talk game with somebody, you are gambling. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now here's the thing. Everything that you two have said is absolutely true, but Kacer took it one step forward, and there are like two examples just this week. A time when Kacer should have either been hiding in a corner or doing everything he could to make allies. He instead was out there flat out dropping truths. He told Danny that he knew there was a big alliance that she was a part of, which meant the lines were drawn and he was going to be blowing it up. And then he kept saying that he was coming for Cody and Tyler even after he was nominated. So once Kevin won the veto, there was no way Enzo was going to put up anyone who might actually get votes, because they all wanted to make sure that Kacer was gone. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a new iPhone commercial that just started airing, and it's about security. where people are walking around saying things out loud that should have stayed secret. Like, I searched for a divorce attorney 8 times this week. And, you know, a couple of coworkers talking to each other about the people they like and the people they don't like at the office, including one guy who's right there. And then it ends with a woman giving out her social security number, basically. That, you know, that was Kacer this week. He was just going around saying out loud all these things that he shouldn't have.
But let me ask you this, because listen, don't make me tell him what your nickname used to be.
Oh, okay.
It's going to come out.
Oh, it will. It's too good to not. So here's my question. And can we talk about the timing of the truth bombs then? Because if this was part of what he did incorrectly, I'm curious. And I don't know. I'm looking for your input and what each of you think about this. Would it have been to his benefit instead of going to individual people like Danny? I know what you're up to and I'm targeting this and dropping those little bits of truth around the house. Why not sit everybody down at the table and do a house meeting? If you know you're going to try to blow stuff up at your eviction, why not just try to blow it up during a house meeting? Because then you give everybody time to swirl and think and really kind of look around and go, wait a second, what's happening? Like, are these people really with me or are they against me? And maybe you can ruffle some feathers, because I'm wondering if that would have been the better approach for him instead of trying to go to each person individually, just be like, all right, I'm just going to put it all out there and talk to everyone right now.
I mean, I think that certainly would have been better than what he did do, which was not a whole lot until it was too late. Mm-hmm. And certainly it's better than going to the person to say, I know what you're doing and I'm going to blow it up while I'm sitting here on the nomination block and you're about to vote me out.
Right.
I mean, I think even after the veto, it was too late because people weren't going to vote against Christmas. You know, she was just put up there because they knew, you know, that was it. I think he probably just held on to hope a little bit too long and didn't want to blow things up too soon, because if he blows things up before veto and then goes out and wins it, well, now he's killed himself for later. And so there's that, you know, balance. And house meetings, although lots of people threaten to call house meetings, they don't seem to actually have house meetings very often. And it's just not in his personality. It's like, you know, you were both saying him getting up and even giving that speech, you know, Karishma, you were talking about even giving that speech was outside of what he would normally do, which I think was one reason that Julie Chen was so giddy about it. You know, like she basically telegraphed that something was happening. It was like, Christmas, give your, you know, final words. Okay, Kacer, the floor is yours. You know, I mean, it was, you know, the rest of the house guests must have just been sitting there like, why is she so excited? You know, the Chen bot's all excited.
We should mention too that like Christmas was like, it was like she was reading a children's novel and then Kacer got up and like did a rap by Eminem. You know, it was like, this is like totally like, whoa, like what just happened? Completely came from different places. Oh, it was like we were watching different shows for a minute. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. And to give one non-spoiler from the live feeds after that, apparently she thought she did great and other people were telling her she did great and she believed it. And it's just like, wow, you did not do great. That was bad. Yes. Yeah.
It was rather funny.
Yeah, I kind of read, I think someone tweeted it, that she said something like she was hoping it would be like an audition to host something in the future, which, you know, a lot of people on reality shows will take the opportunities as they come. It is a platform. But I just want to go back and mention something about house meetings. I hate house meetings. I remember Nicole was considering having one. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking to myself, oh God, and I love Nicole so, so much. And I remember thinking, please don't. Because here's the thing, while you're risking it going your way and blowing up the game and taking the target off of yourself, I think it's also an equal, if not larger, risk to then fuel some really, really deadly mob mentality and groupthink. Because if you put on a show in front of the group of people, now all these people have seen the same thing. So when they all, go in their own directions, and then, a big group like the Big Alliance gets in a room together, they've all now seen the same thing. And when the first person says something negative about it or says comments about it, everybody is going to go around that circle and be like, oh yeah. And now the ability to render your own thoughts, the ability to think about your own game individually and think about what that meeting meant for you is now hindered by this mob mentality and groupthink that, that comes from everyone sharing their opinions about it. And it comes even more difficult. And that's what the scary thing is about house meetings. I feel like if you're going to do it, you got to be fierce, and you have to have some allies who are going to be in that room and maybe try to trigger the good, like a good groupthink, something that may be positive for you. And I don't think KSR had that. Even Nicole didn't, may have, but I don't know. And that's why house meetings are just really, really scary. It's, you got to have a little bit more in your arsenal to go and take that hit, because it's a slippery slope. It could go down a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, to close out the second rule, I do want to mention, of course, there's also a warning against open duos. And, he got tagged for violating this provision back in my original Why Kacer Lost column. And it's pretty much, been the same all the way through ever since. This was the first time he was ever nominated without Janelle next to him, I think. We discussed that quite a bit last week, so I don't think we need to rehash it all now. But there was one slight difference this time, in that Janelle went before him instead of him going first. Even if there was a slight possibility that he could have dropped back under the radar when she was gone, he made sure that didn't happen from everything we just discussed.
Yeah, I do think that it was a hard thing to separate himself from. I mean, once he was with Janelle, whether or not she was in the house, he's still with Janelle. Was just one of those things that people were so against Janelle. There was a lot of people who were against Janelle, not everybody, but a lot. And he was just with her. And so it extended to him. And I thought it was interesting because even though that extended to Kacer, that dislike of Janelle then got transferred over to Kacer, it didn't work in reverse. And I think it was Davon that was actually talking about how she had loyalty to Janelle, but that doesn't then mean she's now loyal.
Bailey said that. Yeah.
Oh, Bailey said that.
Yeah.
That she wasn't then going to be. And I just was like, well, that's interesting. It's working. It's working the other way, but it's not working this way. So I think it was a hard thing for him to get away from, for sure.
Yeah. Distaste is more powerful than loyalty, I suppose. Yeah.
That's a good point. Good point.
That's deep. Wow.
That is deep. I like this.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right. So the third rule talks about the need to be flexible, or as Davon said this week, if you aren't flexible, baby, it ain't cute. Sad to say, Kacer was about as flexible in the game as he was in the veto competition. He said it himself in interviews, talking in one about how the current era of Big Brother focuses on not rocking the boat or being outspoken, making sure all the votes align in a certain way. He was smart enough to recognize that, but then he went on to say he didn't care how they wanted to play. They can play the way he wanted to play. But that's not the way things work in a reality competition show. Especially if you're in the smaller group. You can't just demand that people play your way and expect to succeed. You just make yourself more of a target.
Yeah, I think that his approach, it was almost a little more like analytical, where he thought that if he presented an argument to someone who is sitting in a space with him about the game, that they would walk away from it and really process what he said and kind of learn from it. And he almost took the approach of being a mentor, about how to play the game, as opposed to just letting the game happen. And that's what I talked about earlier. Like, he didn't really understand where the house was at. Like, I think the game has changed so much since the last time he was in that house that he didn't realize that, oh, I can't play the same way that I played 10 years ago. This is a new era. This is a new way to play Big Brother. And I have to fall in line with how this game is now played. I can't teach them the ways of the old school Big Brother and expect that they are going to jump on board. And I just think that it was kind of a natural thing for him to do. And he just thought that people were going to hear it and, oh, that makes sense. And that's what I want to do, as opposed to that's not the way Big Brother is now played.
Yeah, it's tough, you know, when he came into the house, having played that many years ago, absolutely, just having that mentor mentality and not really, I just think he kind of didn't adjust like the other people did, or didn't have to, because, you know, they've been playing, they play this game more recently. And I don't fault him for that. You know, it's hard for me to say this because, like, a special place in my heart for him. I don't fault him for it. You know, he maybe didn't have as much as in common, like not just having played the game so many years ago, but maybe just not having as much in common with some of the other players as well. It made it even harder for him to be flexible and adapt.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this is very similar to what we saw in Survivor season 40 recently, where you had some really incredible players coming back and playing now and realizing how different the game was from the last time they played. And so it really isn't a fault, because that's what, you know, that's what the game they've experienced. That's the game that they've played. That's their familiarity. And then to come in and you can have that expectation and think that that's the way the game is still going to be played. But there is always that moment, I think, that we see a lot of, at least on season 40, we saw a lot of them say, wow, this game has changed.
Yes.
This is much different. And I don't know if he ever had that moment. And even if he did have that moment, he still kind of discounted it, where, you know what, he's still going to try to do the Kacer way, which is not, it's not a bad thing to do, but at the same time, it certainly didn't help him stay in the house.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And going back to my first All-Stars, Why Kacer Lost column, I noted that he did allow his emotions at the time to guide him to a large extent, because he stood by his alliance slash friends no matter what. At the time, I contrasted this with James, who recognized when his alliance was going about things the wrong way and took matters into his own hands. But there was no way Kacer would have done the same thing either then or now. Other people who had thought similar to him this season saw which way the wind was blowing and they avoided the storm, at least for now. Some would start to come in his direction, but then realize it was dangerous, and then they'd, you know, run back. Kacer could have tried similar maneuvers. I'm not saying throw Janelle under the bus, because, okay, that's just unrealistic. But he could have done that with some of his other, some of the others, as a way to shift the target and keep himself around. But he just wasn't going to do that. He stood by those that he was aligning with, even when they were throwing him under the bus. And there was definitely an emotional component to that.
Yeah. I do think that he was playing a lot of the game with his heart, as we've already talked about. He's a good person. He's a genuine person. And I do think that that seeped into the game that he wanted to play, which are great qualities to have in a human being. Unfortunately, to try to win a game like Big Brother, there needs to be some type of a separation. And I do think it was a struggle for him. Absolutely. An absolute struggle, for sure.
I think Kacer is just a really confident person who knows who he is, and he's very, you know, content with his life and where he is in life and who he is as a person, and was unwilling to change that or mess with that for a game. You know, I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, the fifth rule tells players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. Now, Karishma, based on what we saw, do you think Kacer had any problems here?
Pretend to be nice and play the social game. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think Kacer was really, really, really nice.
Yeah.
And I do think that he did, you know, talk to everybody on a personal level, but he didn't play that the game. He played social, but maybe not the social game.
Right.
There's a little bit of a, there's a difference there. I didn't, you know, watch the feeds or anything. I don't know this, but from my perception from watching the episodes is that he spent a very, very large amount of his time with Janelle. And so that obviously affects the social game in two ways. First, you know, not like we talked about earlier, not investing that time and that social capital or energy to get the capital with the other people, but also the other people observing it. It's two-way street with everyone else observing where he's choosing to spend the minutes of his day. That's also part of the social game. And I think that those, you know, affected him a lot.
Yeah, I do think that he's clearly just a very nice person. And I think the one thing we saw of Kacer that we didn't see very much of with anyone else in the house was his ability to connect with people on a personal level, mm-hmm. that he would talk to them about issues in the world and really brought a lot of things home. I think for a lot of people watching, had just incredible kind of ideas and thoughts and really wanted to get to understand the person he was talking to. But like you said, that wasn't about the game. That was about life. Mm-hmm. And it was about how he wanted the world to change and be better. And, you know, we can do better than this is one of the things he ended up saying when he left the game. And I do think that that's really admirable. And it was wonderful to have that spokesperson, if you will. But then at the same time, as you said, Karishma, he didn't then turn that into how is he going to make the social connections for those alliances and turn it into a game move. He was very, very kind, very nice, connecting, but game wise, he was not connecting with enough people.
Yeah, he was stacking up doubloons. He was stacking up capital with no worth, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, even dating back to, you know, when he originally played those two times, he was a nice guy. And even those who voted him out hated to see him go. But like you said, that was social, not social game. I think that's a very good way to phrase it, because the other players were smart enough to know that they couldn't allow their personal feelings to interfere with their plans.
Right. They were focused on, how is this going to affect my game? And everyone wants Kacer to go home. So I'm not going to put my neck out on the line for somebody that I really like, because it's going to negatively affect my game. And that was not something that we necessarily saw from Kacer.
Yeah. All right. The sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And he was seen as one from the moment he walked into the house, especially alongside Janelle. Indeed, there was a bit of a debate among the ruling alliance about which of them should go first. Cody pushed for Kacer because, quite frankly, Kacer was too smart for him. Even just in the way he talked, you know, you could see Cody like, huh? You know, I mean, it sounds like an inferiority complex to me, although I'm not sure if it's a complex, if it's also true. But no matter what, that was one reason he came off as a threat.
I have a hot take.
Okay. Ooh,
I have a hot take here. I think Janelle and Kacer were not threats whatsoever.
Okay.
And this is why. Where they were threats in their original seasons, this season, under the circumstances, the cast and everything, where was their threat level? Where was this high Janelle, high Kacer threat level coming from? Ability to win competitions? Well, Janelle said so herself. I can't win anything and I have no alliance. Same with Kacer. I can't win anything. I have no alliance. The words this person is a threat was being used as an excuse. And that's my take on them being threats. They were not threats at all. They're good players. They have proven to be strategic players, but so have each and every other one of you. And so I think people were hiding behind the whole facade of, you know, this pair of threats. Just hiding behind it again, maybe something that developed over groupthink, mob mentality. Oh, group, big threat. It's working. Big threat. Everyone's nodding yes to big threat. I'm going to go with big threat.
I like this hot take. You know what? I don't disagree with that either, because I do think that, especially once Janelle was gone, he clearly doesn't have an army behind him. He's got no one behind him. And his desire to try to wrangle the troops and make things happen, all you have to do is look at the numbers, and they knew that they had the numbers and they were controlling the house. I do think that they were probably concerned with his ability to talk to people in the way that he was and connect with people the way that he was, because if you get to a point where you're kind of dwindling things down, people have a tendency, I think, to want to keep people around they like, as opposed to people that they don't like. Mm-hmm. And so if you're really looking at, well, how could he be a threat? Well, God, he's such a likable guy and he can really have great conversations with people and he can strategize. So maybe he could strategize. But I think that the threat component that Janelle and Kacer probably presented more than anything was their desire to put certain people up on the block. And they were very clear about who they wanted to put up on the block. And that is what caused them to be seen as the big threats they were, because they were willing to kind of ruffle people's feathers and were willing to throw names out there. I mean, he said, I want Cody and Tyler up as he's on the block. So, I think that Janelle did the same type of thing. She told Memphis, you know, who she wanted to put up on the block. And it was Nicole F. And, you know, so they were sharing a lot of information about who they wanted to put up, and everybody they wanted to put up was in that group of six. So I think that's where their threat level really stemmed from.
Yeah, I see that. And also, you know, as a really strong pair, their connection was undeniable. And mm-hmm. the power of having somebody you can trust unconditionally is more power. I mean, Jessica, you know this from playing the game. It has more power than even what it seems like on its face. It gives you confidence. It gives you, you know, the ability to sleep better, think better, you know, makes you feel at home. And so for him to have that and for her to have that, I see that that's also pretty threatening.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that coming into the house, their perceived threat level was much higher than their actual threat level. And from there, I think that the problem was, like, you know, like you mentioned, Jessica, they kept trying to get the other side targeted. Even, you know, we discussed last week that, you know, Tyler kept saying Janelle and Kacer have my name in their mouth, and, you know, he needed to have that target on them in his mind. Mm-hmm. And considering all the string pulling he's doing behind the scenes, he both didn't want to be outed in that role, and he could use it to make sure both of them were sent packing. Now, right now they had nothing. I guess the question is, or the fear is, if we allow them to stay, can they actually gain some ground? Can they start to pull together allies? And quite honestly, if, you know, I mean, things might finally be bubbling a little bit, you know, it looks like from the Thursday episode, right? You know, if Kacer and Janelle were there, do they end up being the ringleaders of that? So, I think it was the perception more than anything, at least right now. And that was the other thing, was Janelle said that the two of them should have laid low to begin with. But we also talked about last week that they didn't follow their own advice. They kept drawing attention to themselves by fighting for the losing side several votes in a row. Then Janelle said in an interview with Dalton Ross that she told Kacer that he would have a really great shot if he could take a blanket and go in the shadows of the house and the crevices and just don't do much. But she acknowledged that would be hard for him, and she was right. He just wouldn't do it.
Right. And you and I have talked a lot about how perception is reality.
Yes.
When it comes to reality TV shows. And so if that's how people perceive you, that is what the narrative becomes. And as, you know, Karishma was saying, threat, this person's a threat. That becomes the narrative, regardless of what they're actually performing. And I do think the ringleader thing is great, because they are the types of people that would lead the charge. You know, someone like Nicole A, as much as I love her, I don't think she's leading the charge necessarily. Someone like Janelle, she's going to own that room and she's going to leave, you know, all of her minions behind her and tell everybody where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference in how you present yourself in the house. And I think she and Kacer certainly presented themselves as people that could be leading a charge, as opposed to kind of following along.
Yeah, as more influential. For sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, the seventh rule says to trust almost nobody. And we actually got into this a little bit in the second rule. But Kacer said at one point, I don't really trust anyone in the house except myself. but that wasn't actually true. Obviously, he trusted Janelle. Fine. Yeah, that's okay. He also trusted Memphis, which we already discussed in the second rule. And, you know, he trusted Nicole A, saying at one point that he had faith she would not divulge information about them. But as we discussed at length last week, Jessica, Nicole passed everything along to the other players. It was, you know, him and Janelle fighting for her was a perfect example of how no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah, that was so hard to watch because I do like love all of them. And to just see it on the screen happening, and you're like, no, like this, like you want to just tell them like, no, Nicole, they really are trying to help you. Really, really. That's what's happening. But yeah, that was kind of what I think really caused their ships to be sinking, because she was just feeding everyone who was in that alliance, everything that they had shared. And unfortunately, it all came back and got them both voted out of the house.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was like just walls coming down of the house, just one after another. And yeah, it was just the unfortunate sort of end result of, again, going back, you know, you trust the wrong people. Do I necessarily blame them? No. But is this why they lost? Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know we discussed it last week, but it's worth pointing out again, you know, and again, I'm going to mention Kaser's debilitating case of integrity. It made it that much more ridiculous that Nicole A would come up with the bizarre ideas, conspiracies involving Kaser and Janelle, creating these, like she thought they were creating these huge fake scenarios just to mess with her. And it's just so outside the realm of both of their personalities that it was like, ah.
Yeah. Well, and I think Nicole, we talked, how she had a lot of things that were happening in the house. And I think sometimes your brain gets ahead of you. And I do think the conspiracy theories can kind of take over, because this is a game and you can't actually trust everyone and you want to, but then you hear something and then you fill in the blanks because you might hear something over here or see people talking, and you start to create your own story in your head as to what is transpiring, as opposed to taking a step back and just thinking about it. And I know that at some point, like, people were trying to just get Nicole, like, go to bed, just like, go lay down, try to, you know, get yourself in a good place, you know, because it was really kind of taking on a life of its own. And if you let that happen to you in a situation like this, it will take over. And it certainly took over for Nicole. And so she wasn't able to see that this didn't make any sense. Like, what she was coming up with in her head made zero sense versus the reality of the situation. So, yeah, it was very painful for sure to watch.
All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up because we've finished the rules here. So, Karishma, what are your final thoughts here?
Please, please, please let somebody do something in that house. Please. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. There has to be people not choosing to play safe. And while, again, from personal experience, and I don't blame them, that's what I need on my TV screen, is I need this all-stars bunch to start getting it right, you know, figuring things out and getting it right, putting the puzzle together, winning when it matters, and, you know, making a splash, making moves. That's my, you know, Kaser didn't go down for nothing. Come on.
Yeah, no, I think that Kaser definitely went out with a bang. He certainly wanted to. He was going to burn the house down, and he dropped the mic as he was walking out the door, followed with some few uncomfortable hugs. So I appreciate it very much. Kudos to him for trying. I think we discussed a lot that it was a little too late at that point. You've got such a strong group that he's up against, and calling them out, well, we loved it and thought it was super duper fun. It certainly didn't have the effect he wanted on that particular vote, but maybe it will have a ripple effect in the house. I don't know, because at some point, you're right, Karishma, someone has to do something, because not everybody can make it to the end. And at some point, people need to start looking at who is their best bet in getting to the end and actually winning. And at what point did they start realizing they're all being played against each other? as opposed to coming up with a scenario that's going to work best for a lot of them, as opposed to just one of them or two of them. And maybe this is the week, you know, maybe he said enough things that is going to make enough people start talking and having those conversations that they need to be having, as opposed to just accepting what the House wants to do. That, to me, that's just do what the House wants. No, it shouldn't be do what the House wants. It should be do what is best for your game. And I think a lot of the people who are playing right now need to realize that. It's not about the House. It's about your game and how you're going to make it to the end and how you're going to win. And you're not going to win by just always doing what the House wants and never making a decision on your own. So unfortunately for Kacer, he found himself to be seen as a huge threat walking in. He kept the narrative going by his actions while he was in the House and certainly didn't do anything to hide in the shadows as he should have been doing at the start and really put himself out there. And unfortunately was seen as a threat to particular people's games, and those particular people found themselves in positions of power very early on in the game and nipped it all in the bud for Kacer. Mm-hmm. So it's very unfortunate to see him go home because he was just such an incredible human being to watch on the television screen. But unfortunately, now he gets to watch everybody on the television screen. So.
I want to see people in that core alliance start fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. I want to see that the way I see it is there's six or seven of them. I don't need to go over, you know, the six or seven, right? And I want to see two or three people in there just, I can't work with you anymore, and just erupt that. And then I think there's five people, maybe after next week, might be four people that are on the side. I want to see them come into power. Mm-hmm. The Devons, I want to see them come into power.
Yeah. All right. Well, when Kacer followed Janelle out the door, I jokingly told Jessica that we should just say exactly the same thing we said last week, but replace her name with his. But the more we looked at it, the more it was clear that wasn't actually the case. Yes, they were absolutely linked, and that contributed to both of them getting evicted. But they were different people with different possible routes, and Kacer did have the extra week. Kacer told Mike Bloom in his post-game interview, "As soon as we walked in, I looked around the House and saw Janelle, which made us an iconic pair. They knew our bond was unwavering, even if we haven't talked in a long time. There weren't a lot of places to hide. I didn't see Dan, Derek, or anyone else I could have directed the focus to. That was problematic for us from the get-go." And yeah, it was indeed problematic, but it didn't have to be fatal. As I said about Janelle last week, coming in with a target isn't an automatic eviction, especially 3 weeks into the game when there's been time to maneuver, and Kacer had that extra week. He could have taken all of this into consideration and changed up the way he was playing. However, Kacer refused to do so. He wanted to play his way, and he wasn't going to let the new school players force him into anything else. Kacer is a man of his convictions, and in many, many cases, that's a great thing. But taking a stand to play the game of Big Brother your way is not one of those times. If anything, it reminds me of a story I know I've told before, and which I think I even used to be in these rules. When my sons were younger, they bowled in tournaments that took us to different alleys. One of them would complain that the ball wasn't curving the way it did at our home alley. And I told him, the alley's not going to change, so you need to change what you're doing. He wasn't going to give in. So he just kept throwing the ball his usual way. And it was not surprising to find that it continued to not go where he wanted it to go. That was Kacer in this game. There were other issues as well. Kacer went into the House saying he wanted to make sure he connected with everyone in different ways. And from the conversations we saw, he did that on a personal level. And there were some very important conversations. The problem is we won't get to see more of those conversations because he didn't connect in a strategic level. There's little to do in the Big Brother House beyond talking to one another. So it was shocking to hear Enzo say that Kacer hadn't talked game with him for the whole time he'd been there. You can't wait until someone wins HOH to have a strategic conversation with them, or you might as well put your own face on the nomination wall. Kacer wanted to form a resistance, a counter-alliance, but he kept trying with the same people over and over again, banging his head against a wall. He needed to have reached out to others sooner. We know Cody wasn't biting early, but Kacer still needed to try, especially with different players. But then by the third or fourth week, he had a big target on himself and he needed to shift the other way, and keep his head down. Instead, he was lighting up billboards to let those in power know that he saw them and would come after them. As with Janelle, Kacer came into the house as a big perceived threat. But rather than working to overcome that, he did things to highlight it instead. He didn't scheme and plot enough when he should have early, and he did it too much and too honestly when he shouldn't have later. Going so far as to tell the other side that he was coming after them when he should have been doing and saying anything to get in their good graces. He wanted to play the game his way and on his terms, but doing that often leads to playing the game for just a short while. And that is why Kacer lost.
Sad.
Very sad.
But it happened, and now we can just move on and hope.
That's right. Now, before we start to wrap things up here, I wanted to mention that although the rules are different for Survivor and Big Brother, behind me over here is a great depiction of the Survivor rules drawn by Eric Reichenbach. So if you're interested, you can get an 11x17 version at tinyurl.com/DavidRulesPoster2. We also have another way to get the rules, so you can always have them with you. And that's there it is. First time, new setup. In t-shirt form, go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click the merch link near the top and then look for new items first. The shirts will be right there.
And if you have any special requests, if you are outside of the United States, you can DM me through Twitter and I can certainly make arrangements to get you the poster. And also if you want, an autographed one, which I've had requests for that, David. So you and I have to chat about that.
Oh, okay.
We can certainly make whatever arrangements need to happen. So you can DM me. Am I going to get it right this way? There we go. @JessLewis89.
I also want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Once you join, you'll see all the great perks Rob has for the patrons, including tons of opportunities to interact with him, both call-in shows, patron trivia, patron mafia, Facebook groups, and more. He did another 6.5-hour patron call last week.
Crazy.
Remember, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Once you get to the groups, make sure to say hello.
And you should also say hello to us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89, as I just indicated here. And David is at David Bloomberg. And Karishma is at QT Karishma. She also has her handle up on the bottom of her picture there. So you should follow us all because we all tweet not only about Big Brother, but other great things that are happening in the world. Obviously, if Survivor ever comes back, we spend a lot of time tweeting about that as well. Yes, fingers crossed right there as well. So hopefully that will come back. So you should follow us all at JessicaLewis89, at David Bloomberg, and at QT Krishma.
A special thank you to both of you to have me on. I really appreciate it. This was an honor, and it was so much fun. Thanks, guys. Well,
thank you. Thank you. And where else can people find you besides Twitter, if you want them to find you? Anything else that you're working on?
Cutie Karishma on Twitter, Cutie Karishma on Instagram. That's where you can find me. And I'm just working on keeping my job, working on staying sane, working on topping off all of them White Claws in my fridge.
Yeah. Enzo would be very happy with you. He likes the white.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently so does Jessica. Okay.
I've been exposed during Corona to White Claw.
It's so good.
White Claw is spreading faster than Corona is.
You should really try it out because it's like really, it's not bad for you either. I mean, I know it's an alcoholic beverage, but there's no sugar and all that stuff. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's refreshing.
Don't worry, David. We'll get you some White Claw.
Okay. Thanks. Before we do that, we need a hashtag. One that I thought of, not surprisingly, I bet you can guess what it is. Debilitating case of integrity. Unless you have anything else.
Is case spelled at KAYS? Debilitating.
Nice.
Of integrity.
I did not even think of that. It should be. There we go. Debilitating case, KAYS of integrity.
Oh, I like this.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I meant crackpot and he just walked right past that. So,
yeah. Of course, there's the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is Why X Lost. Everyone should also make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Big Brother podcasts at robhasawebsite.com/BB podcast or on your favorite podcatcher. We, of course, are also on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed. So if you subscribe to that feed, you'll get both this and our Survivor podcasts when those start up, plus so much more. We did mention last week that one new wrap-up to watch for is coverage of Love Island Season 2. This show gives you the power to vote for your faves all season long. And if the commercials are any indication, you can also vote out some sad woman's boyfriend. The show airs on CBS. It started last week. Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally have coverage every Wednesday and Saturday with recaps that take the show even less seriously than it takes itself.
Oh, Lord. Love Island. I'd love to say thank you to Scott St. Pierre, who does all of the editing for us here on Why Blank Lost. He does both the audio and video version. So thank you so much, Scott, for all the incredible work that you do. And thank you to Will from America for the incredible theme song that he has created, which you can hear on the audio version. Unfortunately, not on the video version, but you can go there, listen, then come back and watch us, or just listen to us if you don't want to watch us. Whatever you want. But thank you, Will, so much for that incredible song. We appreciate it so much. You both do great work for us. So thanks. And thank you, Karishma, for joining us today. And I just actually, I have to admit, when you said your handle, then I got it. Cutie. You're Cutie Karishma. It's like, now I get it.
You are quick, Jessica.
I know. Listen.
It's 1998.
I love it. I think that's great. Listen, the Twitter world was new when I started. This is why I got Jessica Lewis 89, because that's just what I came up with. But yours is much more creative. So thank you for joining us. It was wonderful having you. Clearly, you've got a lot of great intel, and it was so nice to be able to bounce things off of you. So we appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us. Jessica, thank you as well for another great week. In 1 week, we will be right back here to discuss Big Brother again with Ovi Kabir from last season. So everyone should be sure to tune in for that. Until then, we'll see everyone in a week. Bye.
Bye.
If you lost Big Brother and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this